This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Young Wealth Show, where you'll truly learn how to make, spend, and invest money for an awesome life. Get the real-life stuff that wasn't part of your school curriculum. Young Wealth gives you innovative new ways of dealing with your finances, as well as the skills and tools you're going to need to survive and be successful out on your own. Let the Young Wealth Show be your GPS to take you from clueless to clued in. Here's your host, Jason Hartman, with Young Wealth.
I'm looking forward to sharing with you another great case study today, and I love it when we have our younger clients, millennials, Generation Y, that is really making a difference in their own lives and the lives of others, inspiring us to be better investors and just better all-around people. Brandon Cook, who is on with me today, is our youngest Venture Alliance member. He joined right as a founding member right in the beginning a long, long time ago. It's just great to have him here. He's a fighter pilot in the Navy. He's the only guy I know that knows how to land and take off on an aircraft carrier. Brandon, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Jason. I'm great. It's really good to be on the show.
Yeah. I can't believe after all the years we've known each other that we haven't had you on the show before. I mean, you've spoken a few words here and there, like at a Venture Alliance event when we'll pass the mic around, but we haven't really done a show about your journey, you know?
Like small appearances, but nothing dedicated. Been on some of the other shows in the Hartman Media Group, but not this one. So I'm looking forward to a good discussion.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you on. Thank you in advance for sharing your story with clients. And it's really quite inspiring because, you know, I remember seeing you way back in maybe 2009 or 10, 8, 9 years ago, maybe more even, at some of our Meet the Masters events back in the old days. When did you discover my podcast, for example, and how did you get involved with us, and what was the start of your interest in real estate?
Well, as far as my interest in real estate, that came from reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, reading some of the other Kiyosaki books, and he lists different asset classes. Real estate interests me the most because it was something I knew I could go on deployments with, mm-hmm. and it would still kind of keep running. You know, yeah. I wouldn't, if I did a small business, as soon as I went on my first deployment in the Navy, it'd fall apart. So I was looking for something passive and a more proven system. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I found you. You were one of the first companies that I basically sought information from. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I found you in print. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you still market in print at all.
Not really. We don't really advertise at all anymore. But yeah. What? Tell me what you found.
I found an ad. It was an ad in like an entrepreneur magazine or something. I was in a bookstore and saw a small. It was kind of like in the back pages where they put like 12 ads on a page, you know, there was your older face shot, you know, Platinum Properties Investor. And when I went home and Googled you, I think it was Google back. It was
Google was around back then.
Yeah, it was. 2009. Okay. Yeah. I found the Creating Wealth podcast. Mm-hmm. And when I did, I subscribed. I remember the newest show was, get this, episode 48.
Oh my gosh. So as we speak, episode 959 is being released today. And, you know, I don't know when the listeners will hear this. Obviously, they may hear it way in the future. We may be at episode 1700 by then. But yeah, episode 48 was the first show you heard. That is amazing. Oh my God. What was I talking about? And did I make any sense?
It was, I can't remember. I mean, it was some of those early shows had a lot more core content, real estate, and I loved it. So I didn't just start from there. I went to just episode one and just listened through that.
Wow.
I think it took me to, you know, episode 60 before I had caught up, and then I was just listening to each one. It was one a week or one every 2 weeks back then. I've been listening to you ever since. The first event I went to was at it was Hyatt Regency in Irvine. Uh-huh. It wasn't in the room.
Yeah, it was in the little room.
I remember. Or the stadium's audience kind of style room. Uh-huh. It was It was a side room, right? Maybe, I don't know, 35 to 40 attendees.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when you were there. And I think the one you were at was the one where one of our clients, and he's probably listening and I'm going to forget his name, sorry, but he actually made a song for me. He made a song out of my Ten
Yes.
Commandments, and he brought his guitar, and he flew out from, I believe it was North Carolina, and he performed the song about the Ten Commandments and refi till you die and all my principles. That was awesome. We got to find the recording of that. It was so great.
Yeah.
I love
that. That was it. That was the first event. I bought my first property with you shortly after that Meet the Masters in Phoenix, mm-hmm. and then just started buying one per year
right.
to kind of today where I have six rentals.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Okay, and so you're 31 years old, so you're
yes.
a young guy. You bought your first property in Phoenix. That wasn't where the Meet the Masters was. I just wanted to make sure that was clear to the listeners. That was back when we were recommending Phoenix, so you made a lot of money on that property because Phoenix went up. We can't recommend it anymore because it's too expensive now.
That was a great property. If I could have afforded 10 of them, I would have, you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
But it's because it was so cheap, way below construction, nearly half.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I remember doing the math. It was like $42 a square foot, that
wow.
property.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. And here I am trying to figure out how to get a mortgage for the first time because mm-hmm. I'm at this point, I'm 23, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
23 or 24 and, mm-hmm. you know, had never been a renter my whole life
uh-huh.
and was kind of nervous. I'm like, what is going to happen with this? I've never seen this property, but,
mm-hmm.
but honestly, your educational material gave me that confidence to go on.
That's fantastic. You know, Brandon, you're definitely one of our youngest clients starting at age 23. I mean, you're not the youngest anymore, but we've got some young clients, but 23 is pretty young. That's just awesome. That's just awesome that you did that. Obviously, it's working for you, so that's just great news. Now, the other interesting thing is you got your family involved with this. I think you got them involved. Maybe they got you involved. I don't know, but your mom and your dad come to our events. I've met them both several times. And tell us about that. What are they doing?
Sure. So my dad was the first to hop on board the real estate bandwagon. I took him, I think my second Meet the Masters, I took him with me. So,
mm-hmm.
and he went to nearly everyone after that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a year or two in there that he and I both missed. But for the most part, we've been in every Meet the Masters. My mom's more recent. She just came to this last one in mm-hmm. January. And as far as properties, yeah, I convinced my dad, took him a little bit to act, you know, and I had talked to you about this, I think, at one of the property tours, you know, I just said, hey, Jason, my dad, he understands the material, but taking that first step, jumping into that first property, it's a big obstacle, big barrier for him. And honestly, I think, especially with your young listeners, that's probably an obstacle that they have as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the first one that's the
yeah,
hardest,
right.
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, maybe Brandon, you know, because you're a fighter pilot, maybe you can draw some comparisons. Of course, everybody thinks being a fighter pilot is like super cool. At least I do. We all saw Top Gun and, you know, you guys have this great coolness image being fighter pilots for sure. But
it's not like the movie, I can assure you.
I believe you. I believe you. Yeah, I believe that. But I've never been able to break the sound barrier, and you have. So I'm a little envious, okay? I want to break the sound barrier sometime. Here's the question, though. With real estate and income property investing, getting off out of your comfort zone to buy that first property, that's the hardest. And I think there's this tendency among everybody with everything in life is that a lot of us, we want to learn about everything before we do it. And a lot of it, you just got to actually do it, right?
Right.
You know, can you learn how to fly a fighter jet in the classroom in ground school? No. At some point, you got to actually fly, right? You know, and I think there's some parallels for like first-time investors. Of course, we have a lot of people that aren't first-time investors, you know, that own dozens and dozens and dozens of properties now. But the first one, it's kind of the hardest, you know? Speak to that a little bit.
You know, back to the classroom versus getting in the aircraft, you're absolutely right. In fact, I would say sometimes we try to do too much academics and not enough execution of what you know. If you wait to 100% solution in knowledge before you act, you'll never do anything. Mm-hmm. And I haven't read anything that says this, but just a gut feeling is that younger generations, millennials and younger, I think this is going to be a worse problem for those generations, because we grew up in the information age where information is so easily shared and you can binge read, you can go all ahead in knowledge and not in actually execution. So right. As a fighter pilot, you know, you have to be able to scan quickly. If the solution is there, then you pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. You employ the missile or bomb or whatever it is mm-hmm. you're doing. I've also heard the other kind of analogy that's like people that will aim forever, you know, ready, aim, right. aim, yeah. aim, aim, and they never fire, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess with my background, with being a fighter pilot, going through that training, I think absolutely that helps me in my investing and soon my entrepreneurial endeavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that that's good. I'm of course going to become knowledged in what I can, but I'm going to go for a 90% solution, mm-hmm. realize I'm going to still make mistakes most likely, mm-hmm. but it becomes time to do.
Yeah. All real life education and real life training is on the job, if you will. So it's on the job of being a real estate investor. It's on the job of doing anything. You've got to actually do. There is a certain learning that comes by doing only. And, you know, look, I kind of hate to use this comparison already because this is a family-friendly show, but I'm sure everybody listening has made love before, okay? Could you read about that in a book and understand it? No, you couldn't. There's no way to read about that academically, right? You just have to actually do it, right? You know, I think that's kind of it's actually a pretty good comparison. I hate to bring up that, you know.
It is. And concept, you know what, Jason? Yeah. Speaking of love, yeah. You know, it's Valentine's Day. Yes. You didn't mention that in the intro. It is Valentine's Day.
I know,
Day.
but they're not going to hear this for probably a couple of weeks.
Guys. Yeah. Two bachelor guys talking to each other on Valentine's Day. I can't think of anything more lonely.
I know, man. Life is life sucks.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is overrated. Yeah. That's what all the single guys say.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it depends. I think as far as the Valentine's Day episode that actually goes out tomorrow. So, you know, folks, you will not be hearing this obviously on Valentine's Day. You'll be hearing That's it in right. a couple of weeks. Okay. But the Valentine's Day episode that goes out tomorrow as episode 960 is a good follow-up to when I had the author of The Five Love Languages on the show, which was a good Valentine's Day episode too. But what was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah. I think people who are either married or in relationships, I'm guessing this is nobody knows, because you never get any real data on this. I think people in relationships and marriages, they kind of toe the company line, if you will, and they want to be good people. And so you don't really get like honest data about how is it, you know, what's it like?
Right.
You know? And then there are the complainers who will just complain, oh, it's terrible, or my wife or husband, this or that. But I think the 20 to 25% of them that are happy are probably like the luckiest people on earth, because that's just, you know, it's life's greatest gift, possibly, you know, maybe children also. So, anyway, a little sideline there, lest we get off on a tangent.
Overcoming the analysis paralysis and acting. And,
yeah.
And to bring it full circle, although that was maybe an obstacle for my father at first, he is in two property, or he owns two, and he's getting into his third mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My mom has, I think she has one and is in escrow on her second. And then my sister with her brother-in-law mm-hmm. are on 5 or 6 in Memphis.
Oh, fantastic.
So it is a family affair now. And,
yeah.
and it works. Dinner conversations at you know, home for the holidays, talking about this real estate thing.
That's awesome.
Works.
That's awesome. Hey, Brandon, how old is your sister?
My sister's 32. We're nearly a year apart. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's a year older than you, and she's accumulating quite a few properties too. It's interesting that the kids are buying more than the parents.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting,
yeah.
huh? Yeah, very interesting.
You know, the parents were victims of the conventional model. They've mm-hmm. been employed their whole lives, diligently contributing to a money market account.
Yeah.
And And of course, that doesn't really secure your retirement, especially in an inflationary environment, what we've, you know, come to discover.
Right. Yeah, no, that's definitely what most people do. And we're trying to talk them out of that standard plan. So that's good. But when you were talking about learning versus doing, basically, that's what it came down to. You reminded me of two things. Number one, one of my favorite quotes, let me see if I can remember it, goes something like this. Successful people make decisions quickly as soon as all the facts are available and change them very slowly, if ever. Unsuccessful people make decisions very slowly and change them often. And, you know, that's the thing. When you just go for it to some extent and you force yourself to get out of your comfort zone, to be uncomfortable, you know, and you just get in there and you look, I'm a capable person. I'm going to figure it out. I'm not going to know everything before doing this. There will be some mystery, but I'm just going to jump in and deal with it as best I can. And those are the people that just win in life, because there's just a certain amount of like extra credit you get from life, or, you know, points. You just get a certain amount of points and wisdom from actual action. It has like its own inherent value. And it also reminds me of one of my favorite books by Michael Masterson. That's his pen name. And I had him on the show. It's called Ready, Fire, Aim. And that's what you were talking about. And I heard, you know, one of our clients, Doug Utberg, who's been on the show before, and you know Doug, Brandon.
I know Doug, yeah.
He was in the Navy also, or maybe it was the Marines. I think it was the Navy. He talked about how when you learn to shoot, that's actually the technique. Because the way your brain works, and maybe you can speak to this, you actually have to fire almost before you aim. And I know that sounds completely weird, but he explained it really well to me. I don't know, maybe you got some of that in your military training and you can speak to it.
Yeah, because, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I also think that what he maybe also talked about there in that example was that you can dry fire or shoot without, you know, pull the trigger, mm-hmm. work on your grip. You can do all that without a bullet in the chamber, uh-huh. and you'll be smooth all day. But then as soon as just the cartridge is put in the breech and you know that you're actually going to send a round downrange, uh-huh. it changes your technique. It's like psychologically, you know that you're actually going to shoot the gun, mm-hmm. and it changes. And I see that too with my pilot training as well. Mm-hmm. We'll do just dry runs with no ordnance all day. As soon as we have ordnance coming off the aircraft or we're shooting the gun, we don't fly as good of a profile, a weapons delivery profile. So there is that. There's that psychological element where reading it in the book and visualizing it is important.
Yeah.
You'll be a perfect investor in that realm.
Right.
You move to actually executing, it's going to be different. You're going to make mistakes and think back and go, I can't believe I made that mistake.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah, we got to just do things in life. I always say, and my saying is, cultivate rational recklessness. Be willing to be a little bit reckless in your actions, because otherwise you'll just never take any actions and you'll be textbook smart. And you know, the world's full of educated derelicts, as the saying goes. Brandon, what have you learned over the years as an investor, as a young investor? Share like any tips you have, any technology you use, applications, organizational techniques, just anything you want to share.
Yeah, sure. I learned... Man, there's a lot that I've learned that I can't even think of. It's, yeah. I would say productivity is something I really, really struggled with early on. Maybe that's a product of the information age too, that kind of lack of focus or not.
The distraction age.
Not being organized. Yeah. Right. So when I initially started investing, I was severely disorganized. I was not keeping track of my books. So mm-hmm. I didn't know where money was going in and going out. Mm-hmm. And I started doing my own bookkeeping, and I think that is a must. Everyone should either do their own books, or even better, you pay someone to do your books for you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to be a investor and an entrepreneur, you're more or less, you're making decisions, leadership decisions, and working in teams. You shouldn't be pushing paper and in the mechanics. That's not really the life of an investor or a business owner. Mm-hmm. Real estate investing is kind of running its own little business.
It's definitely a business. Absolutely. Yeah.
It becomes its kind of own business, even if you have property managers. Mm-hmm. So I think that was, it was a mindset shift, I think, for me initially, was to learn how to delegate and learn. You want to have good records and then make decisions based off good reports, you know? So early on, doing my own books and having my income statement, having my balance sheet and reviewing them once a quarter was an absolute must for me. I was stalled until starting that.
What software are you using?
I'm moving away from Quicken. QuickBooks is the standard, and I'm not going to learn QuickBooks. I'm going to pay someone to start doing that for me. But it's Intuit as well, so it's going to move over very easily. And I just recently started using the property tracker as well, so I can actually track more investment specific.
Yeah, so in other words, Quicken or QuickBooks is used for the general accounting, but property tracker is used for the specifics of managing the real estate itself, managing the leasing calendar, the insurance calendar, you know, the taxes, you know, it helps you do your taxes. It's just a great tool. I love Property Tracker. So that's good. Okay, good. Well, we got to wrap it up, but, you know, just any other comments you want to share with our listeners, you know, how, why to do it?
I think we wanted to talk about Venture Alliance too.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for the reminder. Yes. Just quickly, with Brandon's help. So thank you, Brandon, for helping on this. You were one of our founding Venture Alliance members. We developed a junior membership to welcome some younger blood into the Venture Alliance. So if you are under 35, you can join the Venture Alliance now for $5,000 per year rather than the normal fee of $8,000. For two people, it's $7,000 per year if you're under 35 versus $10,000 for the normal fee. So Brandon, hopefully, now you've talked to a couple of our clients about this, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. Yeah. I had some issues with the contact numbers. I had a number that was bad and I was looking to get another couple. So stay tuned. For some of you, I will be reaching out just to explain how much value I pulled from being in the Venture Alliance and also answer any questions about kind of the normal flow of our weekend and things like that. And I didn't mention that in my case study earlier, but I was able to join for the very first event, and it was very valuable for me to surround myself with other business owners. Well, really with business owners, because I don't have any business other than my six rentals. Being an entrepreneur is about being creative and about surrounding yourself with others and overcoming obstacles. And that's all, you know, all we talk about at the Venture Alliance is it's a positive weekend, it's a positive event. And so I've felt honored, honestly, to be in the presence of the other members. And I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity if more younger of your clients could get on board.
Yeah. We'd love to have more younger investors in the Venture Alliance. That'd be great. And Venture Alliance is our elite mastermind group. It's a lot of fun. Brandon, you joined us at our first event in San Diego. You went to Dubai with us and Jekyll Island and Newport, Rhode Island. You've been on all the trips, right? Have you missed any of them?
I missed Chicago.
Oh, you missed the Chicago trip. Okay, got it.
I came in for the last day.
That's right. Yes, I remember.
I had another weekend engagement. But yeah, other than that, I've made every single event. It's been fun.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being involved in Venture Alliance. And if your peers are out there listening, Brandon, your younger peers who are interested in real estate investing and entrepreneurship and just having fun and going on neat trips and, you know, once in a lifetime experiences, join us. Go to VentureAllianceMastermind.com. Brandon, thank you again for coming on and sharing your story and your case study with us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate being on as well, Jason. Thanks.
Happy investing. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.